This is the Cross of Grace Lutheran Church Sermon Podcast. Through the month of October, we are commemorating the 500-year anniversary of the start of the Protestant Reformation. Our sermon series this month is based on the book One Hope, which was written by a team of Lutherans and Catholics to address a desire to focus on unity.
On October 22, 2017, Pastor Mark Havel preached from the Gospel of John, chapter 11, verses 17 through 27, with the theme of dying and grieving.
All your names brush your hair like it could be tan. Itch their dresses past their knees, spill them to the floor.
When Jesus arrived in Bethany, he found that his friend Lazarus had already been dead and in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany is not far from Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews were going to Martha and to Mary so that they might console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed back at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Yet even now I know that God will do for you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to Martha, "Your brother will rise again." She said to him, "Yes, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And those who live and believe in me will never die. Do you believe this?" And she said, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." Our theme today, in the almost last of our Reformation sermon series, is about dying and grieving. And remember, with this series we've been preaching on, we're supposed to be looking for common ground between Christians and different kinds of Christians as we make our way to Reformation Sunday next weekend. Specifically, we've been looking for common ground around themes like communion and prayer and forgiveness and reconciliation between Catholics and Lutherans in the world these days. So outside of the trappings and the traditions of church practices, you can't deny that every person of every theological, denominational, geographical, political, cultural, sociological, economic, demographic shares common ground when it comes to death and dying. I mean, it is something we all will do someday. Every one of us will die, and we all know someone else who will die, too. So far, humanity hasn't found a way out of that predicament. Our lives are finite, limited. They will come to an end. We will die, and we hope someone will miss us or grieve our going when it happens. And as hard as it is, I hope we all have someone to miss and someone to grieve along the way, too. According to the book that's been informing our sermons the last few weeks, if given the choice, most Americans say they want to die quickly. They wouldn't mind dying in their sleep without any warning that death was coming if they had a choice. Most of us don't want our dying to be a burden to anyone, statistics show. And I believe it. When Krista and I tried to talk to her mother about preparing a will or making plans for elder care or nursing home insurance, my mother-in-law jokes about not wanting to think about that. That when the time comes, she just wants to put on a big red floppy hat and walk off into a sunset field full of flowers or something. It's kind of a joke, but I wouldn't be surprised if she has a big red floppy hat hidden somewhere in her attic, just in case. My father, the other Pastor Havel, you know, has a pact with at least one of his pastor friends where they've agreed to mistakenly step on the oxygen tube in the hospital. Pastors have special kind of access sometimes, right? Or accidentally trip over the plug for the ventilator in the wall if they should either find one of themselves in such a predicament down the line. My point is, as much as we'd like to avoid or deny or make as easy as possible the dying we encounter in our lives, either our own or that of the people we love the most, things don't always work out that way. And as Christian people on the planet, we live in a strange way when it comes to death and dying and the grief that comes along with it. So much of our faith is wrapped up in the hope that this isn't all there is, that there's something more on the other side of God's heaven, that life after this life is something we're promised and something to look forward to somehow, even if none of us knows exactly what in the world that looks like. If nothing else, this bit from John's gospel about Lazarus and his sisters and his good friend Jesus reminds us that not a lot has changed when it comes to faithful people dealing with death like we do. And there's a whole lot more to the story than what we just heard. Jesus hears about his friend Lazarus being sick, but he doesn't rush to rescue him the way that Martha and Mary, the dead man's sisters, had hoped. Jesus takes his time getting there, it seems. And when he finds Lazarus dead, stinking up the tomb after 4 days, the sisters are mad. "Jesus, if you had been here, our brother would not have died." Isn't that the accusation of the ages? God, where have you been? God, why didn't you show up? God, if you are who you say you are, and if you just would have shown up to prove it, our brother, our sister, our son, our daughter, our mother, our father, our aunt, our uncle, our friend, our whatever, would not have died. Haven't we all wondered or accused something similar? And so I think our greatest lesson, as hard as it can be to learn or to practice some days, comes from Martha in this story. In the midst of all her grief and despair and anger and frustration, when she's as sad as she can be, she confesses a faith that, frankly, I wonder if she's all that certain of in that moment. I mean, her brother's dead and it's been 4 days. I mean, this Jesus, their Lord and Savior, who was his friend, dilly-dallied and took his sweet old time to get there, and he's been dead for 4 days. He seems to have neglected their prayers for help. And Martha's no superhero, so I'm okay guessing that maybe she was trying to convince herself that she believes some of the things she then confesses to Jesus. "Yet even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask. I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. And I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." Sounds to me like she might be trying to convince herself of something. And I don't know about you, but I've spent my own fair share of time, like Martha, convincing myself to believe some pretty incredible things at some pretty difficult times. And I don't mean to oversimplify this dying and this grieving stuff, but I wonder today if that isn't our calling as believers in the world. To remind and to convince and to comfort and to hope alongside one another and for and with one another when we need it most, even in the face of death. Because Jesus ends up working a miracle for Lazarus that day, the story goes on, by raising him from the dead. Jesus calls Lazarus out of the tomb, smelling like death, still wrapped in those ratty, smelly grave clothes, but walking and talking and living and breathing in spite of it. And Mary and Martha get their wish then. Their prayers are ultimately answered, and we get a reminder of what it means to trust in the promise of God's love in spite of and in the face of even the power of death in our world. But none of us is Jesus. We can't all do that. Raise the dead, I mean. But we do still have a story to tell. And some of you have heard me tell a version of something like this before, that there are three things about death that can't be denied. That it is irreversible, that it is universal, and that it is final. Remember those words, irreversible, universal, and final. I heard this from another pastor who uses these words to talk to children about death and dying. Irreversible, universal, and final. Death is irreversible. Like I said before, we humans haven't found a way to undo the work of death in our lives or for the sake of the ones we love. Even Lazarus, who Jesus raised that day in the gospel, dies again, and for good, just like the rest of us will one day. Death is irreversible. And death is universal, too. No one is beyond the reach of death in this world. Black, white, rich, poor, Lutheran, Catholic, Jewish, Muslim, European, American, Asian, African, you name it, the whole lot of us will die one day. It happens to the best of us. Death is universal. And death is final, too. It is our last official act as people on the planet. There's nothing to follow our final breath or our last heartbeat on this side of the grave. Our death is final. Irreversible, universal, and final. Those are hard words to hear. But we get to say all of that. We get to know all of that as Christian people with a different kind of perspective. What might sound like fear or sadness or despair or defeat to some people doesn't have to be that way for the likes of you and me who, like Martha in the gospel story, believe on our best days anyway, Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world. We get to believe Jesus himself to be the resurrection and the life because we know something else about irreversible, universal, and final as the people of God. We know that the love of God in Jesus Christ, the love poured out and promised in and through holy baptism, is irreversible. It cannot be taken away. It cannot be undone or erased or mistaken, for that matter. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ, remember? Not hardship or distress or nakedness or persecution or peril or sword, and not even death. God's love for us is irreversible. And it's universal, too. The love of God in Jesus Christ is for all people. Red and yellow, black and white, slave and free, Jew and Greek, gay or straight, for God so loved the world that God gave his only Son not to condemn the world, but in order that the world would be saved through him. The light of God in Jesus Christ was and is the light for all people. God's love is universal. And God's love is final. The good news of our gospel in Jesus Christ is that the love of God wins every time. The love of God trumps cancer and heart disease and natural disasters and suicide and Alzheimer's and MS and battlefields and bombs and the bottle and all of our bad choices that lead to so much sin and death in this world. Because on the other side of Easter's resurrection tomb, the love of God in Jesus Christ always, always, always gets the last word. God's love is final and God's love is forever. So irreversible, universal, and final. Death is all those things for sure. We don't have to pretend that it is not. But even more is the love of God made known in Jesus Christ, irreversible, universal, and final. And the love of God in Jesus outlives and outlasts the death that scares and saddens us too often in this life. And it is that kind of love that defies and defeats even death, and especially when we share it with each other and for the sake of the world, in Jesus' name. Amen.